Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for January the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2018. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. We've got James Edwards with us, well-known talk show host in his own right, author of a book called Racism, Schmacism. Get your copy today at thepoliticalcesspool.org and listen to his award-winning broadcast every Saturday evening, available on demand at your fingertips or live Saturday evening, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org to get caught up on that broadcast and more. James, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, Kurt, always great to be with you. I wonder if it's as cold in the Rocky Mountains as it is in Memphis, Tennessee today. Snow all over the ground here. Now, y'all see that quite often. It's more of a novelty for us, but it is several inches thick, 5 degrees outside my door right now.
Wow. We don't have snow all over the ground necessarily. In some spots, there's a little bit of snow. There's certainly snow on the mountains, but in the valleys where we live, I don't have snow on the ground at my house, but it is super cold. Last night, it got down to, I think, 17 degrees, something like that, and it's certainly not very warm. How about you, Kurt?
Well, I'll give you a little weather report. According to what I'm seeing, it says it's 10 degrees Fahrenheit in Memphis, so you might be...
Yeah, I got 31 saying, degrees here right now, Kurt.
Yeah, 32 where I sit. We got down to, you know, about that 28th, you know, something like that. So it looks to me like the Deep South is in a deep freeze.
Yeah, it's part of global warming, don't you know?
Oh man. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the weather, but it has been brutally cold, and for about 2 weeks here. I mean, I'm talking about single digits at night, and that's just Southern boys weren't made for that kind of weather.
Well, it does keep the whole what would you say, the rabble rousing crowd a little less rabble rousing when it's freezing like that.
That, Kurt, you're exactly right. It does keep a lot of the ne'er do wells shut in. So that's
right.
And to be completely honest, I can't complain too much. I would much rather it be 5 degrees than 100 degrees. It's just amazing that a place can get as miserably hot, humid as the South can actually get this cold, also. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Yeah, good point.
All right, we got a weird story here we want to talk about. As you guys all know the history, and I'll give a 30-second history to the best of my ability here, but James Edwards was called by a Detroit News newspaper a leader of the Ku Klux Klan. It's absolutely patently, blatantly false. He's not a Ku Klux Klan leader, never has been, denounces the Klan, never been a member at all, not affiliated in any way. So James Edwards literally sued the newspaper and said, look, this is libel, slander. It isn't true. They went to court. The newspaper columnist won. And the court ruling basically said, we know James isn't a Klan leader, but because he's such a ne'er-do-well character and because of association by guilt, and anyway, it's complicated, but hey, it's okay for the newspaper columnist to call James a Klan leader. Blatantly false. Well, then we get word that they literally changed Michigan case law and update their kind of Michigan guidelines about what the definition of libel and slander is. And they use this case as kind of their change agent to accomplish the task. Well, we saw all that. James was going to appeal, but lost that opportunity. It's a complicated, you know, thing. Why? Has to do with money and attorneys and liabilities and all kind of, anyway, they weren't able to continue the court case. However, we now have, I don't know what you call it when it's insult added to injury and then insult added to injury and then insult added to injury. What do you call that? Like serial added to injury or what? I don't know.
Yeah, this is a textbook case of, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I know now what they mean by adding insult to injury because we were certainly injured.
Yeah, but what happens when it's repeated over and over and over? It's like a serial rapist, but it's adding insult to injury instead, right? Or a serial killer or something. Like, this is serial defamation of character, serial violation of the law, serial libel, slander, taken to the extreme levels.
Well, look, again, just before you go into what's happened this week regarding this, we filed the suit in March of 2016 because to write that someone is a member or a leader of the Ku Klux Klan is textbook definition of what constitutes libel according to the Second Restatement of Torts, which is basically the legal Bible that attorneys and judges go by when making their decisions. So we had a slam dunk case. But, of course, here in America, law of the jungle, anything goes now. And so you have what I consider to be just a crooked court. And they said, yes, you know, this is textbook libel, but we don't like James Edwards. So, you know, Aesop's Fables instructs us to do this. And anyway, so it was just, and it, as you said, it completely rewrote the defamation law for the state of Michigan. But that was filed in March of 2016. We lost on the lower court. We appealed it to the Michigan Court of Appeals. And after a year and a half long battle, we lost that one on Halloween Day. So we were going to put a bookend on that at the end of 2017 as blatantly of a case of being a miscarriage of justice as it was. We fought to the end, and we came up short. Nothing you could do about it. It was over. And then I find out what happened on Monday, and I swear to you, Sam, the insult that added to already being injured by having a newspaper say I'm a leader of the Klan, and then a court saying, you know what, he's not, but you can say it if you want to, completely flies in the face of what is protected free speech. We're all for free speech here. When I read what happened on Monday, it really offended and incensed me more than losing the case in the first place. And I'll let you, I know we're coming up on a break probably, but you can break it down better than me.
Well, let's just talk about this a little bit and kind of think through and understand what's really happened here. Because we're changing the affairs of the nation. And what I mean by that is things that you used to be able to count on. Hey, you're not allowed to commit libel and slander against somebody. You're not allowed to literally blatantly lie. You're not allowed to literally attack someone. Now they're allowed to do all that. And instead of the courts saying, wait a minute, that's wrong, forget accountability for a second, the courts are literally doubling down and saying, you know what? The lie is good. The lie is right. The lie is moral because the end justifies the means. The lie is now the truth. The truth is not as important as the political agenda driving the lie. And so therefore it's justifiable. It reminds me of kind of like blacks can be violent in the streets because it's only political payback for the abuse they took literally centuries ago. And so as a result, then they can do this and they get impunity. It's like unions. Unions can commit violence, but they got a special lever pulled in the favor of them. From government, from the courts. If a union leader is violent, bashes heads because people cross the picket lines, that's okay. They have special privilege. And what we're doing is we're creating a system that's been recast by the ends justify the means. Truth isn't truth anymore. Morality isn't morality. It's a reordering of priorities and ideas based on protected groups and classes and people and circumstances that get the lever pulled in their favor at the expense of others. And the more Christian, the more moral, the whiter you are, I can go on and on and on. If you're male, if you're wealthy, or if you're not poor, whatever you want to say, every one of these becomes triggers to put you in the back seat of the bus. We're going to have to start calling you James Parks from now on, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Well, I really learned a lot in my year and a half in court about the law and what the law about freedom of speech and defamation is. There's a difference between what they call rhetorical hyperbole. You can say someone's a racist even if it's not true because that definition is fluid. But to say someone is the member of a terrorist organization crosses the line. And so that's what had happened here. And, of course, as you mentioned, not only did that violate law, courts upheld it, and then it got even much worse than that this week. And I don't know if it actually makes it worse. What makes it worse is that you now have laws being redefined. And keep in mind, my positions on the issues have been consistent in my 14 years of broadcast. I went on the air 14 years ago. My positions have been absolutely steady. I have not gone more extreme one way or the other, to the left, to the right. It's always been consistent. In the early years, I was invited on to CNN regularly and introduced as a conservative talk radio host. Now I'm being called the leader of the Klan.
But that was before they changed the affairs of the nation to this degree. We'll talk about it with James Edwards in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free. F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so James Edwards riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about this strange scenario where Jesse Jackson literally gave an award to the journalist to beat James in court is the idea here. So let's see. Who got the award now, James? This guy?
Yeah, so you can say, all right, well, isn't that a coincidence that of all the people, this columnist for the Detroit News who wrote the article in question, Van Cole Thompson is his name. He's from Ghana, the African nation of Ghana, and he's a columnist there for the Detroit News. He's the one who wrote what we consider to be the libel. He's the one, we brought the suit against the Detroit News as a company and him as an individual as a joint case. Well, they were co-defendants. We were the plaintiffs, or I was the plaintiff. And, so you could say, well, look at this, James, here on Martin Luther King Day, this journalist who wrote the hit piece on you, the libel piece, was given an award. And that would be bad enough, I guess. That'd be enough to rankle my feathers for sure. But that's not the whole thing. He wasn't just given an award because he was a journalist. He was given an award according to the official program from the ceremony. He was given the award specifically because he beat me in court.
Now, I don't really understand that. I've never seen awards given for such things before, James.
Well, here's what it says, and I'm reading now from, now there's two newspapers that service the city of Detroit. You have the Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News. Okay, the Detroit News is the newspaper that published the article that we took issue with, and that is the newspaper for which this columnist writes. This article that we're referring to now was actually published by the Detroit Free Press. And that's the article I'm reading from now. And, well, actually, let me pull it up right here. One second, Sam. I've got everything pulled up but that.
All right, I'm just finding this case extremely strange, though. I've never seen an award given for something like this before, ever.
Well, here's what it reads. The Detroit Free Press, so basically Jesse Jackson was in town for some sort of a Martin Luther King award ceremony in Detroit. Three people were given an award, and this columnist was one of them. And this is what the Detroit Free Press writes about that. In citing why the winners were chosen, the organization pointed to Thompson, that's Van Cole Thompson, the columnist, assertive and sometimes controversial writing. Thompson's work has drawn the ire of leading ideological opponents, culminating in an important First Amendment victory before the Michigan Court of Appeals in 2016 in a lawsuit filed against him by white nationalist James Edwards, the program said. So basically what it's saying here, Sam, is that being able to falsely write that I am the leader of the Ku Klux Klan and get away with it appears to be the culmination, that was the word they used, the culmination of one liar's career, according to the official program of the award ceremony, which was emceed by Jesse Jackson on Monday. Of course, we all know what the definition of the word culminate means. It is the high point of one's existence or career. They said the culmination of his work was winning that lawsuit. And so to put a fine point on it, the lying journalist who wrote that I was the leader of the Ku Klux Klan just received an award from Jesse Jackson for beating me in court. That's what we're talking about. And I don't think that's hyperbole to say that that's why he received the award, because the official program of the award ceremony said that that incident was the culmination of his aggressive and sometimes controversial work.
Now, what I find fascinating about this, though, is they act like you're not important, that you're an extremist, that you're irrelevant. At the same time, why is this the culmination of his work then?
Yeah, you know, I took that into account. Well, we're whatever they need us to be, okay? So when it came down to the interview, the incredible interview hosted by you that I had the opportunity to participate in along with Kurt on Liberty Roundtable of Donald Trump Jr. For all of 2016, there was no bigger name in radio than Liberty News Radio, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, and James Edwards, because they could tie us to Trump. But then, you know, and when they were not being able to use as a bludgeon against someone, we're just this, you know, we're on a few AM stations, they're not really that big. It's, it just depends. I mean, we can be big or we can be small, depending on what they need us to be. But yes, here, and this wasn't, I don't think this was something that was really intended to get out there, because there was quite a few articles on the fact that this columnist received this award from Jesse Jackson. And by the way, Jesse Jackson, I mean, you know, the fraud, the charlatan that he is, I mean, to receive an award from, he is still a national figure, and that means very little in this corrupt, degenerate society. But, you know, for Jesse Jackson to come into town for this, and I saw the pictures of this event. I mean, this is a first-class event. I mean, a lot of money invested. And for Jesse Jackson to come in and to give this award, the Martin Luther King Day Award, which was fitting that a lying columnist would get an award at a ceremony named after a liar himself. But no, so I mean, to get to your point, the culmination, and they even write in there that he has drawn the ire of leading ideological opponents. Well, who are they talking about when they mention leading ideological opponents?
You can't assume that means that. Let me just explain to you about definitions. You see, it doesn't mean what you think it means at all. See, that's what the whole court case was based upon. And now they're literally calling you a leading whatever in this scenario. Now, what's also fascinating about this is when you were battling this court case and when you were defending yourself and I was defending myself against the onslaught of the media about us interviewing Donald Trump Jr. and Eric Trump, who I interviewed and Kurt interviewed with me. They literally at the time wrote an article. I can't remember who wrote it. You can tell me. But they basically talked about Donald Trump Jr.'s career and how he did this and this and this and this, all these awesome things in his life. Graduated from an Ivy League school, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then one of the culminating events in his life was to appear with us, right?
Yeah, Yeah, that was actually the Boston Globe, which is, of course, a very major newspaper. That is the news.
Now, I don't know why, if we're nobodies, we're being written up in the Boston Globe, but there you go.
Well, so this was what Sam's talking about here, and this is just an aside here, but the Boston Globe published a pretty comprehensive biographical timeline on Donald Trump's life, and it included a literal timeline that said this was the year that Donald Trump Jr. was born. This was the year that he got his first job. This was the year he proposed to his wife. This was the year he did this. It was all major. This was the year he went to college. It was all major milestones that you would imagine that would be in a person's biographical timeline. And then one of the things that was added there was this was the year he appeared on the interview with Sam, Kurt, and James. So yeah, so in the Boston Globe's biography of Donald Trump Jr., they consider that to be one of the defining moments of his life. Now, this is the son of the president. Even Donald Trump Jr. himself, by the way, said in an interview after the fact that interview, talking about the one he did with us, would follow him for the rest of his life. And then, of course, a year later it was that the Boston Globe agreed and included that.
But now, here's the reason that I point to all that, though, because they pretend we're nobodies, but they admit we're everybody and that we absolutely matter. We're leading in our goals and in our efforts. But here's the interesting thing. Jesse Jackson gets word of this Banco Thompson reporter and this court case and literally gives an award for it, doubles down in support of his, quote, people and his agenda, right? My response is, what if our side had the guts, the integrity to do the same, James? What would happen?
Well, this is, again, the whole thing, Sam. And believe me, there's a little bit, I battled a little bit of bitterness in the fact that because we are political dissidents, it's much harder for us to draw in support of corporations and the extremely wealthy. Now, what we're able to do off of the $25 and even in some cases the very generous $100 contributions of our working class and middle class listening audience, is incredible. I think pound for pound, dollar for dollar, we do more of this network in the media than anybody in the world, literally. So you saw here in Memphis recently with the removal of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Monument, just that single action, one action, just to remove the monument, cost $250,000 that was raised by private investors. $250,000, $250,000 to remove a statue. Here, this award ceremony, just this single award ceremony where they're patting each other on the back for getting away with libel and selling the name of frankly, what I can say, I'm biased, it's myself, a good man. I just to put on that single gala on Monday, tens of thousands of dollars, maybe much more than that. Maybe upwards of $100,000. I mean, if you had to pay Jesse Jackson to come in, God knows, it could be in the millions. So, but yet they had no problem. And this is just one event, one award ceremony. And we can barely, in spite of the fact that they consider us to be leading ideological opponents of their agenda, the Boston Globe considers us to be prominent enough to be included in Donald Trump Jr.'s life biography. But here we are scratching for nickels and dimes.
Just imagine if our side had the integrity of Donald Trump Jr. were to double down and say, I may not agree with James on everything, but he's a stand-up gentleman that's sincere about his beliefs, and I'm not going to distance myself from good, honest Americans doing that. Just imagine if Donald had the integrity to stand up. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about what happened 20 years ago today. Hang tight, folks.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
20 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, today, Newsweek melts down. The new media taking center stage really started then, Kurt.
Well, I got to agree, or at least I think it was a big step in the right direction, you know, and
now we actually started before that, so it really was underway before that, but this is when it kind of, the tip of the sword got sharpened, I should say.
Well, that's right, and I was thinking about, you know, James, for example, or even you or me. I mean, we were, of course, 20 years younger. You know, how many people have either no recollection of this, or if they have any, it's pretty slight. But what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is, well, that was the day that the Drudge Report reported that Newsweek had killed a story about a White House intern, a 23-year-old that had a sex relationship with the president, and that president at the time, Mr. Bill Clinton. He's gone on to be the poster child of what I'd call, you know, the, I guess you could say, sex pervert in the White House. And, you know, yet it was interesting because Newsweek, according to this report that you could find on the Drudge Report, by the way, Newsweek just decided not to publish this. They had had an investigative reporter, the guy's name was Isikoff, who basically had all the details and everything else, and yet decided not to run with it. And, you know, it just shows you how the media works behind the scenes, and you got the an upstart organization, the Drudge Report at that time, that said, hey, we'll move with this. And, you know, and they did. And I guess you could say the rest is history, huh, Sam?
I'd say, what do you say, James?
You know, 1998, 20 years ago, that was just before, actually right at the dawn of my political awareness and activism. I would join the Buchanan for President campaign a year later, and everything else that has stemmed from that has just been the logical progression. I Because what I'm saying is that was just before my time, but of course it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we know how criminally corrupt the media is. God knows Tom Hanks is literally criminally corrupt in my case. Of course, you can't really say that because the court of law didn't find it that way. But, yeah, so, I mean, they'll bury what's not in their interest, and they'll lie about what is, and it's up to us to figure out what is and isn't true. And it's a pretty easy thing to do, though, or at least it's become easier to do. Basically, anything you see coming out of their mouths is a lie. And so that's why the new media is taking center stage, as Sam so often says, and the rise of alternative media like this network, even though we're on AM stations, so that gives us mainstream credibility and bona fide, is so important and so needed and so deserving of financial support, both prayerful support, yes, financial support, absolutely. We got to have both. And this is another example why. So thank you for bringing that to the program today, Kirk.
Anyway, I find that fascinating because that's really when the mainstream press and the new media taking center stage started to clash big time. They were attacking us back then. They attack us now. Our presence is certainly felt. That's beyond a doubt. All right, McCain, that's John McCain, has one last regret that you need to know about. Have you seen this, James?
I guess it would be his entire life.
Well, a good point. But in this case, it's specific. His daughter sounding off. What's her name? Megan?
Megan.
All right, Megan sounding off on this thing. And I guess it turns out his biggest last regret is he goes out of Congress because of his, you know, health problems and such. He voted against making Martin Luther King Day a holiday.
Oh, my God. That's one regret. A lifetime of treason and measures and political action that has harmed this country, perhaps beyond repair. And his one regret is the only thing that I can point to definitively and say he got right.
Amen. That's the point. It's amazing how this is. Even Donald cucks to the Martin Luther King Day line.
Oh, yeah, I know. Believe me. And you know, and there was two. Yeah, Donald Trump cucks hard. And Mike Pence was up there with a big group of black legislators who absolutely and unequivocally seek the advancement of their people. So it's not that, listen, I don't have a problem with identity politics. I mean, everybody else is engaged in it. I think it's healthy, normal, natural to put your family's interest above that of others. It doesn't mean that you hate other people, but if it comes down to who you're going to provide for, whose well-being are you going to put at the front, it's going to be my children over the, you know, the kids down the street. That's just the way it is. But for all the Republicans and these so-called conservatives who bash white identity politics as the most evil of all incarnations, well, here was you know, Pence yesterday meeting with a group of black politicians who were expressly, in their own stated words, what they do is to benefit their people, the black people, which I think is fine. I'm all for that. I'm for that, too, frankly. But Pence would be the first one. But there he was on King Day meeting with these people and laying wreaths at the
what a disgrace is all I can say. Now, what I find fascinating about this example, though, of all the things you can look at McCain for, his literally sordid career in politics, his, in my opinion, disgraced career in the military, questionable career, disgraced, whatever you want to, you know, sordid career. You look at all that in the military, all that McCain's done in his life, and his biggest concern is that he voted against making Martin Luther King Day a holiday. Jay or Kurt, do you want to sound off on this one? I mean, this is beyond imagination. This is crazy.
Well, all I can say is it'll sure be nice to not have John McCain in the Senate. I mean, the guy is, in my opinion, I know that he served his country in the military, and they always want to bring that up. But I would just simply say, if you said, was he a defender of the Constitution and, you know, another George Washington in our time, I'd say, man, that's so far from the truth.
Amen to that. All right, Chuck Ross is in the news. He wrote an article that's very fascinating indeed. Department of Homeland Security, that's the DHS, recommends arrest for sanctuary city leaders. Did you see this, James?
I have seen, yes, I have seen that. I'd like to see it happen. Much more than more rhetoric. I mean, we've been in the Trump administration for a year now. As my co-host Keith Alexander's often says, after all is said and done, there's going to be more said than done. And Trump has been marginally better on some things than Hillary would have been, but he's not been nearly what we need, I mean, to turn back this demographic onslaught. This is good talk. I like it, but we have got to see some action before, I mean, because again.
And let's be clear about something. This is not about opinions. This is not about race. This is not about attacking cities or the federal government having a heavy hand or the manipulation of the balance of power. This has to do with arresting people who are breaking the law and using the cover of government employment, if you want to say it like that, or government elections to do so. This is about breaking the law, James.
And I got to say something about this, Sam. This really rubs a raw nerve with me because as the laws were being changed in the 1950s and 60s, you had the government immediately, as soon as they could get a law passed or a Supreme Court decision, immediately marshaling up National Guardsmen with bayonets marching into the South to force them to abide by these new laws. Now, what we have here are laws that go back to the 1700s with regards to immigration. And why, in the name of God, has the president, I mean, this is so much more of an extreme case than the excuses they used to send troops into the South. And I'm not even talking about the 1860s, I'm talking about the 1960s. Why are they not sending in troops to round up anybody that is aiding and abetting and promoting this from a political office in any of these cities? It should have been done a long time ago.
Amen to that. Wow. Anyway, I find that interesting, though. To me, it's about breaking the law here. These leaders are breaking the law. But the biggest way that I know to stop them is to defund them. The feds right now spending money they don't even have. They're in debt to their eyeballs, and they're literally funding these cities. That's the mistake. You yank funding, and then you prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. That's what you do.
Well, what do you think, Sam, Kurt, what do y'all think now? So we solved the big brouhaha about what we're calling scat hole countries, and that's what they are. I mean, literally, in Haiti, they don't even have a sewer system, okay? Everybody, they just... It's not an exaggeration. They just go on the ground.
Yeah, the sad part is we don't like Donald's language. We don't know if he even said what. All we know is this. It's a little too literal for our comfort, isn't it?
Well, here's my reason to bring that up. Not to dread that all up again, because I know y'all covered it last week. We covered it on my show. But the thing is, it looked like for a minute there that might have torpedoed DACA. Now DACA is, you know, like any monster, it's got a second life. What do we see with DACA here in the short term? We're talking about sanctuary cities, and I know that's a little bit different here, but this would basically just be legalizing the people that the sanctuary cities.
Well, and that's the salient point to keep highlighted. It's illegal, folks.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the DHS recommending arrest for sanctuary city leaders. By the way, it's because it's against the law. Now, if we don't like the law, we can talk about changing it. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, let's not have this, I want a list of the laws they're not enforcing so I can break them idea. Let's not have these cities running rogue contrary to the United States of America and to the rule of law based on not only legal precedent, but legislative lawmaking. This is the law. Let's be clear. Let's not let them violate the law. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, so this actually comes back full circle to what we were talking about earlier in the hour, at the beginning of the hour, with this journalist receiving this award for beating me in court. Yes, if you don't like the law, change the law. But what we have here, we have cafeteria-style government. They pick and choose which laws they're going to enforce based upon political correctness. And some laws they enforce, some laws they don't. You don't know which until you break them, I guess. Or you can just break them blatantly, like they did in the case of the libel laws in my situation, and just have a judge uphold it. And so this is the thing I think we need to
see. But that's the checks and balances that we need to focus on. If they want to change the law in your case, they got to go back to the drawing board of this legislative body to get that done. They can't just literally pervert it at the court level and activist judges go berserk.
Well, that's the problem. I mean, the problem is anyone who is deluded enough to believe that anyone in this country has the ultimate power outside of judges is wrong. I mean, judges are the end-all, be-all. That judges will allow some things to go, but if it's something that could really impact the country, the judges now, they are the ones who are sovereign. It's not the legislative branch. It's not Congress. Not the state government. It's not even the president. Judges are sovereign here in this country. It's true in my case. It's true. And look at any Supreme Court decision since the 1950s. Judges are the ones with all the power. It was never intended to be that way. But until we can take the power out of the judiciary, there's no way. Sam, every time you have a state, and California's been one of them in the past, there have been others. Every time you have a state that passes something, well, look at all the gay marriage stuff, homosexual marriage. Every time you have a state that passes it, you know, overwhelmingly by legal referendum, it's enshrined in the state law. You know, here's a judge that says, no, you know, you're not going to get away with that. You know, some judge, look at Trump's travel ban. Some judge where in New Jersey, Hawaii, you know, overrules the president. It's out of control. And until that gets solved, we can talk, we can do whatever, we can raise awareness, we can vote, we can even have our elected officials do the right thing. That's rare, but every now and then it happens. But if a judge doesn't like it, you're done.
Amen to that. Now let's wrap up on an interesting article. We'll talk about it in just a second, but I'll set the stage for Kurt on this one. And that is this. You know you're in good company. They say when you're over the target, you're catching flack, right? You know you're in good company when you're getting attacked over race because you're white. Not because you're a racist, but because you're white. And they know full well the only way they can stop your sound, logical, organized efforts to stand for things that matter is to, you know, throw that Molotov cocktail on top of it. And most folks get ignorantly derailed and fall for the lie. Proof is Donald's literally promoting Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King was an absolute pervert's pervert. There's all kind of things wrong with that guy. But nevertheless, they literally act as if he's, well, like the savior almost. I mean, it's just disgraceful to say the least. Anyway, I bring this up, though, to say that, you know, you're in good company when they attack people like us who are not racist, but yet they claim that we are, who are not sexist, but yet they claim we are. They attack Christians. They attack fathers. They attack husbands. They attack everything we are, right? I mean, I'm first a Christian, second a husband, third a father. That's who I am. I'm a God-fearing American. I'm a talk show host. I'm a lot of things. But everything that I am that I would say is important, they would criticize and attack. Well, women are to be celebrated unless they're the kind of women that are, well, faithful to one man, their husband. Those kind of women are just like, you know, downtrodden, abused. Or, you know what, you can promote women if they're having abortions or involved just sexually all over the place. But if it's a woman that is faithful to her husband, a Christian woman, and she has this title, then you can absolutely attack her relentlessly via the new media. I'm sorry, via the old media. All right? And so you got this word, Kurt, that absolutely changes the game. It's open season on these kind of women that have this title, Kurt.
Well, yeah, this headline comes to us from Breitbart, and it's sourced overseas in the UK. They have something over there. They call it the Committees of Advertising Practice. And this thing has, done a decision, and they're going to tighten regulation. And what they're saying is that depictions of moms in traditional roles are going to be banned in ads. Now over there, they call them mums, not moms, but they say cooking, cleaning mums will be banned in advertisements across the UK from next year, following a study which claimed traditional gender roles are harmful and outdated. They say
so. If you're a woman in the slut walk or something, then absolute accolades. If you're a mom, then it's just like meltdown, shame, disgrace, banned, right?
Well, that's right. They say because wherever they appear or are reinforced, gender stereotypes can lead to mental, physical, and social harm, which can limit the potential of groups and individuals. That's what they alleged in this study. It's just more truth or more focus on the idea that in the last days, good is called evil and evil is called
good.
But if
I'm in the company of Christians getting attacked, moms and dads, husbands and wives, traditional family, Christian values, God, family, and country-fearing Americans or believing Americans, whatever you want to say, you know what? In every group that's attacked, I've got a piece in every single one of these groups. Now, you could say, well, Sam, you're not a mom. I know, but my wife is, and my wife's happy to cook and clean and do these things. Now, that's not all she is. Let's not be deceived, but that is a great part of it. She takes delight in those activities and those responsibilities because she knows that she is working for the God-ordained family by her own free will and choice, mind you.
Sam, Kurt, y'all are both very blessed. I know your families, and y'all are really the example that other men, including myself, should follow, and I mean that in all sincerity. And, of course, we look at God's design as perfect, and male and female both have natural attributes and abilities, and we believe in a complementarian union between the two together. They make a unit that is perfect for reproduction and for raising families. And so the traditional roles of men and women should be the standard. That shouldn't be something that's presented negatively, obviously. A woman who does things that a woman are very capable of doing and do better than we do, that should be their role or one of the premier roles that they play in a family. And so now, of course, according to Kurt, this is something that is so evil that, you can't even let people see it. I mean, this is something so backwards and hideous, you can't even let people see it. But, as you mentioned, Sam, the people in the slut walk, now that is what's going to, replace the old Ozzy and Harriet model. Those women are the ones that young girls strive to be like.
Now, here's what's fascinating. They say that you get mental instability and you get psychological problems and damage if you see moms cooking and cleaning. But if you see women in the slut walks, now that's healthy and natural and good and moral and right and upstanding. And I mean, these people have absolutely lost their minds and their moral compass.
I got to say this. And this isn't just something we're theorizing, ladies and gentlemen. The three people on your radio right now, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, and yours truly, James Edwards, we have seen this up close and personal. Very quick reminder that it was last year. Wow, Sam, last year, a year ago this week, we're all in Washington getting ready to go to the inauguration. We were on the front row. And also happening the day after the inauguration was the big woman slut walk there in Washington. And a lot of the people that were in that rally, I mean, there were, tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 of people, women there, these deluded, deranged, degenerate women.
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, they were wearing vagina hats and everything. Now, Kurt Crosby on the airplane tried to get one of them to come on the radio with us, didn't you, Kurt?
That's right, but she was less than...
enthusiastic?
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, she was going to come on with Kurt. Kurt's so polite, she was going to do the interview with Kurt. Then once she met me, she went, oh, no.
Well, I was going to ask Kurt. Kurt, I mean, describe, these are the women that are not going to be replacing real women in ads, apparently. What were these? I mean, look, they're all God's creatures. We wish them the best. We hope they turn their lives around. But what did we see there? I mean, what was the caliber? What were these kind of women? Is this the kind you'd want your daughters to be?
No.
Well, the moms that were cooking and cleaning and everything else that were used to be in the ads, I would be cool with that.
Yeah, but the ones he's talking about that were doing these crazy things.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
right.
It's,
yeah,
just like, man, you know, a bad movie. You know,
well, it's worse than a bad movie because it's real.
Turned out that way, most likely, is that they didn't have a mom like the ones that are being removed from the ads, and most likely they didn't have a father either.
That's a great point. They probably had a government daddy, you know what I mean?
Papa.gov. All right. Wow. All I'm telling you is the show starts on an interesting note, ends on an interesting note for this hour. Sam, James, and Kurt, what we're talking about is morality in the people, ladies and gentlemen. And if Donald wants America to be great again, make America great again, we're going to have to bring back morality, folks. We're not going to make America great unless America's moral again. And I'm just telling you right now, at every turn, we're 180 degrees, James.
I'm sorry, Sam. Don't worry about the attacks. Know that the attacks are going to come and that they're going to be untrue. We cannot in any way compare ourselves to Jesus Christ when we face persecution. It's nothing compared to what he went through. It's nothing. But he said that we will be hated because they hate him, they will also hate us. But he also said,
great point,
we will do greater things than he because he will be working through us.
Now, am I allowed to use a phrase from your court case that this relates to, James?
Please.
If we're followers of Jesus Christ, is it about the company we keep?
Good question. A rhetorical one. We'll have to ponder that until our next discussion.
Amen to that, and that is the salient point, ladies and gentlemen. We believe in God, family, and country. We believe in the protection of life, liberty, and property. We believe in making America moral so that we can make America great again. We believe in standing with these principles that are time-tested, these God-ordained realities that are so important and so vital to the stability and safety of a society, ladies and gentlemen. We stand in the gap for the holy, sacred cause of liberty and invite you to join us. Thanks, James.
Hey, I love y'all. I enjoyed this as much as any hour I've ever done with y'all. Talk to you again soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We need your donations immediately to grow our presence in the press. We're telling the tale like nobody else will. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, and this nation shall endure.